It was between Christmas and New Year's of my senior year of college. I decided to do what 19,000 other college students would do at that time. I went to a missions conference in Urbana, Illinois. Did I mention it was cold? It was a great time of fellowship, learning, and worship. I heard teaching from missionaries and well-respected teachers from around the world. It was the first time in person that I heard John Stott and Billy Graham. John Stott taught every morning out of the Book of Romans, and Billy Graham spoke that last final evening that we were together. I distinctly remember what Billy Graham said. He came up and said that Jesus had two words in his vocabulary: come and go. Come to me, go out into the world. Come to me, go out into the world. Come, go, come, go, come, go. You'd think that after a few times we'd get that. You might take issue with what Billy Graham said, because Jesus really did have more than two words in his vocabulary. However, the point was to see the pattern that Jesus called his disciples to then. It's the same pattern that he calls us to today. It's at the heart of the matter. It's at the center of what it means to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, because we come to Jesus Christ and we go out into the world. This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, that 40-day season, excluding Sundays, which leads to Easter, that period of time in which we intentionally consider, what does it mean for us to follow Jesus Christ? What are the behaviors that are present in my life that I need to think about changing or ask Jesus to change? It's that time in which we consider, how can we walk more deeply with Jesus Christ in a more meaning-filled manner? As we continue in our series today, together in the story, we have a great opportunity to consider Jesus' call in and for our lives. And so I'd invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Listen to God's word. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are the rock and redeemer of our very lives, and so we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds afresh, that we would hear your word, and that we would put it into action in our lives, allowing your Spirit to do your work. For we ask it in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. So I'd like to ask you to consider with me this morning Jesus' call. In verse 1, we read these words. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. The first thing that Jesus did, he called his disciples to himself. He didn't give them something to do and send them out. He initially called them to himself. And he gave them authority. Authority to drive out impure spirits. Authority to heal every disease and sickness. But this call wasn't given to everyone. Did you see the specificity in this passage? He gives the call to the 12 who are called his disciples. All 12 of those disciples are mentioned. There was no question about who they were. They were brothers and fishermen, a tax collector, a political zealot, and a betrayer. All 12 were referred to as apostles. Now, why does Jesus use both words, disciple and apostle? Literally, a disciple is one who is taught, one who learns, and an apostle is one who is sent. Hang on to that thought. We'll come back to it. Though it's subtle, I want you to see something important in this passage. Jesus' primary call to the disciples is to come to him and to follow him. Do you remember when Jesus called his first disciples in Matthew chapter 4? He's by the sea and he calls Peter and his brother Andrew. He says, "Come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people." And their response? At once they left their nets and followed him. James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, were called by Jesus. Their response was immediate. They left their boat, they left their father, and they followed Jesus. Jesus' call for his disciples is to come to him, to learn from him, and to follow him. It's an invitation for us to learn, to be challenged by him. It's an invitation for us to find life in and through him. The beginning of mission is simply come. Consider Jesus' mission. It's only after the disciples come to Jesus that he sends them out in their mission. Literally, the apostle is one who is sent out. And in verse 5, that's exactly what Jesus does. He sends these apostles out. And they're sent out with specific instructions. They're told about the target population. Don't go to the Gentiles or to any towns of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Why? Those lost sheep of Israel have strayed from the shepherd. Well, you might say, well, why just go to the lost sheep of Israel? Why not go to everyone? That's a good question. The point is that the kingdom of heaven is to be proclaimed at this time to the lost sheep of Israel. It may be because there was bitter hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans in that day. It may be that the Gentiles were considered unclean. And you see, what if Jesus told his disciples to go out to those people at that time? Might not have been a pretty picture. First, they were to go to the lost sheep of Israel. In the future, they would go to all nations. So they're told about the target population. They're told about the message to proclaim. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The same proclamation that Jesus made in the beginning of his ministry. How has the kingdom of heaven come near? Because the King, Jesus Christ, is present. They're told what to do: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received the ministry of Jesus Christ in your life. Freely extend that to the lost sheep of Israel. They are being sent with the authority of Jesus Christ to do as he did. And then they are told how to go on this mission trip. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've gone on a mission trip or when I've led a mission trip, I've given people a list of what they're supposed to bring with them. Jesus doesn't do that. In fact, Jesus tells them what not to bring. He tells them about where to stay. He tells them about what to do when they are welcomed and what to do when they are not welcomed. He is clear about the mission. The mission involves proclamation and action, words and deeds. It is first and foremost about the kingdom of heaven, about hearing about it and seeing it in action. There is a need to depend on the Lord to provide for the needs that arise. There's a sense of urgency. There's a call for commitment. When we're sent out on a mission in the name of Jesus Christ, it involves proclamation and action. It's not about us. It's not about our commitment, our comfort. It's all about Jesus and bearing witness to his power and authority. We are called to depend on Jesus Christ. We are called to commitment. You see, mission is a pattern. Come. Go. Consider that pattern with me, if you would. The pattern becomes clear in the Gospels. Come to Jesus Christ. Why? To learn, to be challenged, to be encouraged, to be renewed, to be empowered, and then go into the world. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew records Jesus' words. He says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Going, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you, even to the end of the age." They are sent. They are sent because Jesus has the authority to send them. They are sent because they have been taught, challenged, encouraged, renewed, and empowered. Because of their faithfulness and the faithfulness of countless others, we have been blessed to hear the message of the grace, mercy, and love of God in and through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Several years ago, Steve Green wrote a song entitled "The Mission." The words of the chorus go like this: "To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of the mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission is still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name." To be engaged in the mission of Jesus Christ means that we come to him. Our longing, our ongoing devotion to being with Jesus and learning from him through the scriptures and in prayer becomes the spring from which our service flows. If we seek to serve without coming to Jesus, then it becomes all about us. And we will soon become burned out. And if we only spend time with Jesus and do not bear witness to his love and his power in life, then the message will not be proclaimed across the street or around the world. And so this Lent, I invite you to consider this pattern. I invite you to spend time with Jesus, to be refreshed in the scriptures, to be renewed in prayer, to be engaged in fellowship with other disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, whether it be in worship, whether it be in small groups. Spend time with Jesus. I invite you to go out into the world, to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Cross the street to show Christ's love in a tangible way. Walk to the other side of the cafeteria, the other side of the break room, the other side of the hallway, and speak a word of encouragement. Speak a word of compassion in Christ's name and in Christ's power. Cross over social boundaries and barriers. Pray for those whom you consider to be enemies. And pray for those who consider you to be an enemy. Make a practice of coming to Jesus Christ and going out into the world. Mission is a pattern. Come, go, repeat. The more I've studied the Gospels, the more I've understood that Billy Graham was right. Jesus Christ called his followers to himself, come. Jesus Christ sent his followers into the world, go. It was a pattern to care for and empower his followers. And Jesus does the same today. He calls us to himself. He sends us out into the world. It's a pattern in which he invites us to come to him that we might be taught, renewed, and empowered to proclaim and live the truth. In Jesus' name. Mission is a pattern. Come. Go. Repeat. May it be so in our lives. Amen.